Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Madhava Kunya Bihari
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Evam vratasva priyanam akirtya
Evam vratasva priyanam akirtya
Jata nurago truta citta uccaye
Jata nurago truta citta uccaye
Asatyato roditi roti gayati
Asatyato roditi roti gayati
Unmanavan nityati lokabaya
Unmanavan nityati lokabaya
Evam vratasva priyanamakirtya
Evam vratasva priyanamakirtya
Yatha anurago truta citta uccaye
Yatha anurago truta citta uccaye
Asatyato roditi roti gayati
Asyadyato roditi roti gayati
Unmanavanrit yati lokabaya
Unmanavanrit yati lokabaya
Evam vratasva priyanamakirtya
Evam vratasva
Yatha anurago truta citta uccaye
Yatha anurago truta citta uccaye
Asatyato roditi roti gayati
Asatyato roditi roti gayati
Unmadavan rityati lokabaya
Unmadavan rityati lokabaya Unmadavan nityati lokabaya
Evam vrataha
thus engages in the vow to chant and dance. Sva, Om, Riya, very dear. Nama, holy name. Kirtya, by chanting. Jata, in this way develops. Anuragaha, attachment. Druta citta,
very eagerly.
Uchai,
loudly.
Hasati,
laughs.
Ato,
also.
Roditi,
cries.
Roti,
becomes agitated.
Gayati,
chants.
Unmadavat, like a madman. Rityati, dancing. Lokabaya, without caring for outsiders. Before I read to you the translation of this verse, I would like to give you the context in which this verse appears, and then read Srila Prabhupada's purport also of this. This verse is spoken by Ishvara Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's actually a recitation of a verse in the Bhagavatam. The circumstances were like this, that Mahaprabhu had been initiated in the chanting, and after the chanting he perceived one thing which he was not sure about. When he chanted, he danced, and he sometimes cried, and he perspired very heavily, he breathed very heavily, and he was not sure what this mantra was and what it affected. You know, at the time of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, there were very powerful tantric mantras which would produce a magical spell over the person chanting it. He would come into another state of consciousness, for instance, and a ghost would take possession of that person, and then the ghost would speak in a different voice from the mouth of the person, and he would shake, and it was extraordinary. So Mahaprabhu was not sure this mantra also had an effect on him, not like the tantric mantra which I've mentioned, where a person opens up channels through which other entities take possession of him. For whatever reason, there are various reasons different mantras have. But here something also took possession of him. And he was not sure, so he went back and explained his symptoms to his Guru Maharaj. And Ishvara Puri gave an unexpected answer. He said, listen, the conclusion of all revealed scriptures is that one should awaken his dormant love of Godhead. You are greatly fortunate because it has happened in you. Then he said, when one actually develops this love of Godhead, he naturally cries, and sometimes laughs, and sometimes chants, and sometimes runs here and there, just like a madman. This is the movement you joined, Manoha. This is the goal of this. Oh my God. Hare Krishna. But we should not judge by the external appearances. We should understand It's such an overwhelming experience, this love of Godhead. I have heard when a father for the first time holds his first child in his hands, which has just been born, he experiences a rush of affection which he has never experienced before, and he might cry and be emotionally very stirred up. Now, this is human love, which we can visit, or which we can see. It is overwhelming. Now imagine he holds God in his heart. He may not hold the Lord in his hand, but he embraces the Lord in the heart. What type of overwhelming emotions rush into him? So Ishvara Puri says, that's what happens to you. And Mahaprabhu continues, saying this, my spiritual master taught me a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. Therefore he recited this verse again and again. So this is the truth. It is the essence. And here is the verse for you in the English language. It means, when a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, he cries, he becomes agitated, and he chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders and their opinions. So the next verse, Prabhupada gives a very amazing explanation to this, and although it's long, we will try to read hopefully the entirety of this verse. So I know those of you, some of you have electronic devices where they can see the verse. It might be nice for you to read it along with me in your iPods or these new modern telephones and so on. You might like to consider it. It's the following verse. So Lord Chaitanya's reaction to the words of his spiritual master was great faith. He said, I firmly believe in these words of my spiritual master, and therefore I always chant the holy name of the Lord alone and also in the association of devotees. So he does japa of the holy names and kirtan when he is in the association. Then he says, that holy name of Lord Krishna sometimes causes me to chant and dance, and therefore I chant and dance. Please do not think that I intentionally do it. I do it automatically. It means the holy name inspires and empowers him and starts to move him, and so on. In the first part of his purpose, he says, Prabhupada explains how faith in the words of the spiritual master takes care, or the effect of having faith is that the import of Vedic knowledge, means the what it all means in the Vedas, becomes revealed in the heart. And then in the second paragraph he will talk about chanting. He says, it is to be understood that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced, he did so by the influence of the pleasure potency of the spiritual world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never considered the holy name of the Lord to be a material vibration, nor Does any pure devotee mistake the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to be a material musical manifestation? Lord Chaitanya never tried to be the master of the holy name. Rather, he taught us how to be servants of the holy name. If one chants the holy name of the Lord just to make a show, not knowing the secret of success, he may increase his bile secretion. Hare Krishna. But he will never attain perfection in chanting the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself in this way. I am a great fool and do not have knowledge of right and wrong. In order to understand the real meaning of the Vedanta Sutra, I never followed the explanation of the Shankara Sampradaya or the Mayavadi Sannyasi. I am very much afraid of the illogical arguments of the Mayavadi philosophers. Therefore, I think I have no authority regarding the explanations of the Vedanta Sutra. You must know, he was initiated by Keshava Bharati, who was in the Sampradaya of the great Shankaracharya, and who this Sampradaya had an impersonal interpretation of the Vedic scripture. But he said, I never believed in this. He considered his real initiation in Gaya from Ishwarapuri, Vaishnava, that Sannyas initiation from Keshava Bharati was a strategy to be recognized recognized by the grand mass of society. So he said, I departed from this understanding. Where they read and interpret Vedanta Sutra. No, he said, I firmly believe that simply chanting the holy name of the Lord can remove all misconceptions of the material world. I believe that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In the age of quarrel and disagreement, the chanting of the holy name is the only way to liberation from material clutches. So he makes two statements of his belief. First of all, by chanting the avidya, the ignorance of material existence, is removed. And second, by chanting, one can attain the firm, sure shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And then he describes to us what he felt when he did this. By chanting the holy name, Lord Chaitanya continued, I became almost mad. However, after inquiring from my spiritual master, I have come to the conclusion that instead of striving for the achievement in the four principles of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, instead of following these goals, it is better, far better, if somehow or other one develops transcendental love of Godhead. That is the greatest success in life. One who has attained love of Godhead chants and dances by his nature, not caring for the public. This stage of life, please mark this sentence, this stage of life is known as Bhagavat Jivan, or the life of a devotee. When he has this love of Godhead and chants and dance and is oblivious to public opinion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I never chanted and danced to make an artificial show. I dance and chant because I firmly believe in the words of my spiritual master. Although the Mayavadi philosophers do not like this chanting and dancing, I nevertheless perform it on the strength of his, that means his Ishwarapuri's, words. Therefore, it is to be concluded that I deserve very little credit for these activities of chanting and dancing, for they are being done automatically by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. That was probably a lot for you to take in on an empty stomach, but thank you for trying.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prajanine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskajaya Sadarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gauravinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So we feel that this passage in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is, I mean, we in our movement of Krishna consciousness feel that this is really the legitimation of our sadhana. As you all know, we are known in the world as the Hare Krishna movement, and I think it's a good name for us, because yes, that's the essence of our movement, to chant the holy name of the Lord and to thereby be sure that the existential problem of every human being, that is, that he's covered by the material energy of birth and death, is removed, this avidya, and the goal of life, which is to attain our original relationship with Krishna, is achieved. It is done by mainly by sankirtan, by chanting together with others. Rupa Goswami gives a definition of kirtan, which I think you would like to hear, because it's nice to go to the roots and understand everything from there. He says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, his definition of what kirtan means: Nama lila gunadinam uchya basatu kirtanam. Kirtan is defined as loudly giving voice to the glories of the Lord, beginning with the names, the pastimes and qualities of Krishna. So it's very nice. You glorify Krishna beginning with the name. This is kirtan. And you also glorify Krishna with other things, his pastimes and his qualities. So therefore, we are very much enthusiastic to chant the Bhagavatam, which is all about, which is the scripture of Krishna. Chanting the Bhagavatam is defined as one form of kirtan or glorification. But we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, of all these kirtans, that is Naam Kirtan, Rupa Kirtan, where the beauty of the Lord is praised, Guna Kirtan, where his qualities like his extremely compassionate nature are qualified, and Leela Kirtan, where his amazing pastimes, like when he expanded himself into all these cows and calves, are glorified. Then, from all these types of Kirtan, Naam Kirtan is supreme, because through Naam Kirtan, these other Kirtans are also accessed. The names of Krishna include his qualities, his form, like for instance Shyama Sundar. This name means Krishna has a beautiful body, just like a glistening blackish cloud, Syam, or Gana Syam, or he is called Karuna Sindhu, the ocean of mercy. In this name you find his quality of being extremely compassionate to his devotees, or he is called by names like Navanita Taskara, or you know, Chora, something Chora, Navanita Chora, the new thief, you know, referring to his stealing of butter. This is a pastime. So in the name, you can see all the other aspects of the Lord are highlighted, and especially in the name Krishna, everything comes together. His form, his qualities, his pastimes, because Krishna means simply the sum total of Krishna's quality. All attractive, all me, all, everyone, even the creepers in Vrindavan, means small plants in Vrindavan. When Krishna passed by, they were attracted and paid their obeisances, and they went back to Godhead for this activity. This Krishna is overwhelmingly attractive and inspiring. So, therefore, the name Krishna is so powerful. That's why we in our movement have concentrated our kirtan, our naam kirtan, mostly on the names of Krishna, together with Radha, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is our special focus, our special interest. So Sridhar Swami now raises a grave doubt in the Bhagavatam. He says, This state, which is described in this verse, is beyond moksha. That someone is so close to the Lord that he laughs when he perceives the Lord in his heart. He becomes agitated with love to want to embrace the Lord. Huh? This is such a high state. Is it really true that this can be achieved by chanting? I mean, yogis, prabhus, they give up everything. They live high in the Himalayas. And a simple devotee who chants Hare Krishna receives a better end, a higher realization. Are you serious? How can you make this claim? Sridhar Swami asked this question. This is such a highly high state, rarely attained by even those who have attained the perfection of yoga. Even after many lifetimes of practice, they don't reach to this level. So how can you say that in one birth you can attain this highest level of spiritual ecstasy just by chanting the names of the Lord? You must be not informed of the Vedic scriptures to say such a thing. You must be either ignorant or overly naive. And he puts this question. And he answers it by saying that this is a gradual process. It is happening. The more one takes shelter in the holy name, and he gives as a reasoning, or it said a praman, a proof, one other verse from the Bhagavatam, in which God realization is described as a process with a wonderful example, which I think will awaken every devotee of Krishna, because in the morning we are hungry, we have gotten up and we now want to give us something to eat, not all this philosophy. So we have interest in eating at this time. So he gives an example just by using this. Very human. He says,
Bhakti Parishanu Bhavo Virakti Anyatra Shaisha Trika Ekakala Patyamanasya Yatashnatasyus Tushti Pushtikshut Apayo Nugasam.
He says, listen, devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, personal darshan, and detachment from other things. These three appear simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way that an eating person who eats experience first pleasure, finally, nourishment. Ooh, this is good. Feeling great satisfaction from the stomach area. And relief from hunger. They come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in chanting. Let us be crystal clear. He says, if you take shelter in the Supreme Lord, and then sing or chant the names of Krishna in the mood of taking shelter, then something will happen to you, something very natural. You will first experience devotion, then direct experience and detachment from other things. And he gives an example. When you take shelter in eating, I'm in this situation. I have the best cook in the universe. His name starts with P. He lives in Radha Desh, Padmakshi Prabhu, and he cooks. This is beyond the boldest imagination of a mortal being. And the moment you see how it is also artistically prepared in a wooden bowl, you know, it comes and you immediately feel pleasure. You want to dance. I mean, not really dance, but you feel pleasure seeing this. And as you eat, you feel nourished. Your all the cells in the body write SMS to you. Finally, you give me what I need. You know, and then after some time, you feel relieved from hunger. He may come in and want to serve seconds, and you think, my hunger is relieved, and it's no longer required. So this is an experience which you also have when you sit in the kirtan. You come in the kirtan, a whole day lies behind you. You have done a lot of seva, and you have quarreled a lot with your neighbors, whatever. And, you know, a day, typical day in this world. And you come and you feel, you sit down and you,
look at the deities. First of all, you can't believe you made it in time. And then you are there. And after some time, when your mind can calm down to the actual experience of doing kirtan, you feel, oh Krishna. You feel, oh Krishna, why do I? Oh, you are there. And I'm also here. And there's a relationship between us. I know it. I feel it in my heart. You have some devotion. And as you continue to chant and you look at the deities, you might have some little beginning experience of the deity. Oh Radha Gopinath, you're so merciful. You somehow allowed me to come here and to sit in this association. You feel some little experience is there of the mercy of the Lord. And then you feel some detachment. You look at your attachments, which you may still have, and you will think, oh, not so important. In relationship to what I experience now, I can give this up very easily. It has nothing, you know. It may not be so easy when you actually leave the temple room, but for the moment you feel, oh, I'm good now. I'm fine. I'm all right. My mind is satisfied. Every single devotee can experience this in a beginning state. This is a beginning experience, but it grows if you continue eating or chanting. Your devotion increases, your direct experience of the Supreme Lord increases to a degree where you have the darshan while you chant of his swarupa, his personality and his form. No, and then you are so detached, like we have heard from the great pure devotees who are. I mean, I remember this one pastime of Srila Prabhupada where his supreme attachment shone forth. He was on his deathbed and he had a lot of joint pain, and there was some powder was applied all over his body to ease the pain. And then Prabhupada looked at his body, which was white, and he joked. He said, I'm looking like Lord Shiva now. Now then, he asked to be carried up to the roof to get some sun rays, which is strengthening. And devotees carried him up. And in the midst, when they were on the staircase in the midst, he started to laugh that he shook, and they had to really hold him. He was really laughing. The devotees said, why are you laughing? Most probably they said with tears in their eyes, what's so funny about this, you know? And he said, I tell you when we are up, you know. And then they caught him up. And then he quoted a verse, a saying in Bengali, that a poor man is so poor he has to eat grasshoppers. Grasshoppers? This is an English word. Imagine he's so poor he can't eat sabji, rice, dal. He has no money, so he goes to the field and captures the grasshoppers and eats. There's some vitamins in there and proteins, and so one can live apparently from grasshoppers. I have heard also that this is possible. But he's that poor. Imagine, so poor. He cannot even afford salt on the grasshoppers. He is so. I'm just, you know. Anyways, let's leave the example. But when he goes to Pastul, he goes on a very good white horse. And then he cracked up and laughed again. Now, you must know Prabhupada's sense of humor is slightly different than ours. What? I found myself, it was sometimes impossible for me to laugh about the jokes which Prabhupada laughed about, because
Jokes require a certain cultural context to be relished, and this is the Bengali context, and we have other more. I would tell you a joke from North Germany where I could laugh. It's very gross in comparison. This is very subtle. What he wants to say is, I'm in this. Look at me. I'm a pile of bones. I'm almost dying. I'm almost dead. But here, five strong American boys, you know, from rich families, carry the poor man up the roof. And he then had this analogy, which I told you, the Bengali thing. Then you can only laugh when you are absolutely detached from your body like this. Then only such a comparison comes to your mind. The body is not so important. Why even care? I give up this body. It's good now. It's done its work. Let's go on. You know, very detached. That is a high form of detachment. It comes obviously gradually when you approach the high level. So, the point here is, let us not lose the point, that gradually, as we continue with taking the holy name, the highest states of self-realization, God-realization, are attained. That's the point, right? So this is a powerful statement by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and such statements in the Vedic context need to be proved or substantiated by the scriptures. And here it is said from Ishvara Puri that this is the essence of our main scripture, that is the Bhagavata. Now, since we have little time, I can only you have to be very attentive now, because I will go a little fast now without ornamental stories. How do you determine what is the content and intent of a scripture? Bhagavatam, how many verses we have in the Bhagavatam? I forgot. Maybe 18,000 verses. Now, how can you determine what is the essence of them, of 18,000? There is a certain method. In good English, it's called an exegetical method. Exegesis is a method which brings out the essence of something. No? And this method was used by great scholars like Baladev Vidyabhushana, Jiva Goswami, even the great logician Shankaracharya used it, Ramanuja, Madhva. It's standard. And what you have to look if you want to understand the scripture is, how does it open? How, with what statement does it end? What is repeated over and over by the author? What is the claim that if you do this, an extraordinary result is given? What result comes when you do this? What is special in the scripture? What is the fruit of reading all this? And then finally, what is the logic behind it? Is there some logical steps by which this is proved? I think when you hear this, your intelligence is satisfied. Yes, this is a good method. Have you heard it, or in the, or sleep was also there? You study, how does a book start? How does it end? What does it say again and again? And what is the amazing result in all of this? When you do this, what is the promise, and how do they logically in the book describe this? So by all these six indications, it is proved
that the chanting of the holy name is the essence of the Bhagavatam. I don't have the time now to read to you the verses, but believe me, we have done this with our ISKCON scholars. You know everything, you know, and it is there. The book ends, for instance, with a verse where it says, the conclusion of it is here. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam. It's the very last verse. In case someone didn't get it, he gets it at the end. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy name, Nam Sankirtan, destroys all sinful reactions. And the Bhagavatam has a logical argument. It says, the most powerful practice, even powerfuler than meditation and visiting holy places, giving charity, is that practice by which Krishna himself comes and removes the obstacles and gives the highest result. So this is happening when you chant. You call Krishna, who comes into the heart, and there he removes the obstacle. He does the work, not you. I mean, he is more powerful than you. No, you are small, he is great. He is successful and you are often unsuccessful. It's our conditioned situation. And it gives an answer. When gold is mixed with iron and mud and everything, you bring the fire, whoom, into the gold, and the fire will melt the gold, and the dirt goes out, and the gold becomes brilliant. So the same way, you bring Krishna into your life through Nam Sankirtan, through chanting the holy names, and as a result, you become enlightened. Also, you will dance and chant in ecstasy one day, Hare Krishna. It doesn't mean we should imitate this. We should not imitate it. We do our dancing and chanting like we do, you know, on our level, what we can do. But after some time, and already now, Krishna sometimes gives almost like from above some higher taste in this process. Therefore, my dear devotees of the Kirtan course, I request you sincerely, also the devotees of the community, take this very serious. It is established by Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the incarnation of Krishna for this age. And he has proven it. It's not just a religious statement, a little bit sectarian or exclusive. He really proves it on the basis of the Shastras, of the holy scriptures, which are the words of the Lord. And you just have to see how you can make this more and more a center of your life. It's just like eating. I mean, when you eat a little bit, you can't expect that your hunger is gone and that you feel nourished. You remain weak when you eat a little bit. But if you eat more, you become more strong. As they say in England, in India, healthy looking. You become healthy looking. I doubt that this is healthy with, you know, many... fat Indians have heart problems and so many other unhealthy things, but you know, you become nourished. That's the idea. So you have to see in your life how to develop your relationship with the Holy Name. I think the main thing is you have to increase your faith, and the faith becomes increased by experience.
So therefore, give yourself the luxury or the time to chant more, and to read more about chanting, so that you can make the experience yourself, and then this is a project for your entire life, just like you eat every day to increase your strength and to maintain your strength. In the same way, chanting is a life project. It's not for the bhaktas or for the old devotees. It is for everyone in between. Yes, this is the Bhagavatam's statement and Mahaprabhu's statement. And you know what? To develop the taste in chanting is also done when you serve the holy name. This is a secret you must take note of. If you serve the holy name, the holy name responds. That's why doing service by establishing, for instance, temples, or doing service like preaching, or doing service like we intend to teach you in the Kirtan course, where you learn to do Kirtan and then make Kirtan programs in your homes, where you invite your friends and you know, everyone to join. That is service. And by the service, the holy name becomes pleased with you and gives you his mercy. You know, you can come so far in chanting, and as we said, as we read the other day, complete victory over the mind, that the mind is totally attentive, is not possible for a human being. This has to come by Krishna's mercy. So you come in your own way, in your spiritual life, to a certain barrier, and you know, I can't go any further by this. I feel hopeless to go further. Then, if you have done service and you knock at the door, Krishna, who's inside, you know, before, behind this barrier, he will think, this man has done service. This mother, this woman has done service. Oh, I will now give some extraordinary mercy. In other words, when you come in your spiritual life to the, which every one of us comes to the state where you just can't go further, and you can't even imagine to go further because you tried so many long years to do it, then, you know, bring service with you. Turn around, watch your service. Do you do service? Do you please? Try to please? And if you do, Krishna will consider it. I saw this when Srila Prabhupada, this rule, I saw this when Prabhupada visited us in Germany, and the devotees we had, I believe it was Preeto Prabhu at that time, and others who had informed important people of the German society, and they were wanting to meet Prabhupada. And there were more people there who wanted to meet Prabhupada personally than there was time. So Prabhupada needed to select whom would he see, whom would he not see. And he used one criterion by which he selected. It was very impressive. For me, I was also trying to help in this organization of people meeting Prabhupada. Prabhupada would ask us, has this person done service? Any type of service? Has he recommended us, for instance? Or has he done something, given some maybe supported the movement in some ways? And if the answer was yes, Prabhupada said, then bring him immediately. Prabhupada was willing to even cut on his sleeping time if someone had
done service. So this is a transcendental rule. If you do service to the holy name, then, my dear devotees, the holy name will actually see, oh, this person has done service, let him get some mercy. I have discussed this with His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj, and we have concluded in our discussion. Yeah, we are somehow trying to serve the holy name. We are not perfect. We are trying a little bit. And we have seen the holy name has become very, very merciful, that some attachment is there. Small is coming by this seva. This is a secret, and everyone can do. Temple, president, pujari, we are all serving the same Lord. You know, it's not that service is seen in a different way. Now, this is higher, this is lower. No, we are serving the same Lord, same idea. We serve. And this is put into consideration, very much so. So if you feel, oh, I can't really imagine that, me chanting, oh, come on, I'm not Haridas Thakur, getting taste, I'm happy if I somehow get my 16 rounds done, and don't ask me how they are done, how awake I am when I chant them, you know. We feel sometimes hopeless in our case, but no need to be hopeless. It's absolutely not necessary to be hopeless. Turn around and do service, and give your bones and your sweat to your service, and you will see the Lord will consider this. He considers this very high, very high. It's just what we hold. Older devotees who do this since a long time, we have realized this. On our own, there's no hope. But Krishna, He is pleased. Oof, everything is possible. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. Nothing. Not even that a poor creature from the material world will develop Krishna consciousness. He can just say, Tathastu, may this happen. It comes in the heart. Like we heard, you know, when there was this traumatic time where the Vaishnavas were persecuted by the foreign rulers, and there was always this threat in the air that a whole army would come and raise Navadvip and throw the Vaishnavas into the Ganga and drown them there. You know, they were really afraid. And Lord Chaitanya took the fear from his devotee. He said, as everything moves under my control, I can go to the court of Den Haag, it was Gouda, the town where the foreigners ruled was Gouda. And I can make them all cry in love of God. And you don't believe me? Then he called Narayani, come. There was a four years old girl, and he just gave Narayani, chant Krishna. And Narayani immediately chanted, but how? With pure love of God. Immediately, he just gave it like this. Lord can do. So don't lose faith and hope. Do your seva. And when you chant, learn this simple little thing, that you take shelter at Krishna. That is not an automatic non-Krishna conscious chanting, you know, where you are conscious about melody and rhythm and mostly about your miserable self. You know, no, take shelter with Krishna. This is the instruction. Sorry, I'm getting a little carried away. What to do? Time is also there. I cannot take questions now. I think it's pretty clear. Thank you very much for listening. All the best for you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.